Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, welcome or welcome back to Hurricane Community Church Online. If this is your first time with us, we certainly hope it's not your last. And we're so grateful that you've tuned in to this installment of the Life Apps series. You probably can't get a great view of it in the screen itself, but I'm surrounded by some things that represent some responsibilities that many of us carry in life that maybe you can connect with. For example, here's a laptop. And the laptop represents the jobs that we have to have. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but sometimes a job requires a certain amount of our time and energy. And then some of us have been fortunate enough over time to maybe get married, and so the photo frame represents our marriage. And if your marriage is anything like mine, you've learned that it requires a little bit of time and energy. Well, at some point, maybe you decide to add a child to the mix of your relational world or all of that. And then maybe sometime you decide to add a second child into the mix of your family life. And before you know it, you all of a sudden have to adjust all of your time and energy to get the kids where they need to be to fulfill the responsibilities that they have in the midst of all the responsibilities that you have. And guess what's one of the realities of life? You and your family, your wife, your kids, all of you have to eat. So somebody has to go to the grocery store. And so, again, all of this takes time. And you want a hobby. So let's say you decide to pick up golf. Oh, wait, you have kids, so there's absolutely no time for a hobby. Well, as you can see, and as you've probably experienced in your own life, it can become quite challenging to juggle all of the responsibilities that you carry. And as you struggle with managing and balancing all of these responsibilities that you carry, the pace of life can tend to accelerate. I actually contend that it's far easier for the pace of life to accelerate than it is to keep it in check. And it doesn't take long before the pace of life that accelerates begins to take its toll on us. It takes its toll on us physically, and it takes its toll mentally, emotionally, relationally, and even spiritually. Fortunately, there's an app that helps us avoid the trap. The trap of an unsustainable pace of life. The trap of a pace of life that feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, but not really ever getting anywhere. Well, the core premise of this entire series is that app is short for application. And that something will always be missing until we apply what we know and what we learn. And today, we talk about applying what we know and what we learn and what we can discover about managing and balancing our rhythm and routine of life to keep from falling into the trap of an unsustainable pace. There's a story about a guy named Elijah who served as a prophet to the nation of Israel in the 9th century B.C., around the time of a king by the name of Ahab. And Ahab was a terrible king. He married a woman by the name of Jezebel, who introduced a false god by the name of Baal to Ahab. And as Ahab got more and more comfortable with the false god Baal introduced to him by Jezebel, he began to make it an acceptable practice, the worship of this false god Baal, an acceptable practice to the people of Israel. Well, in simple terms, a prophet is someone who communicates God's message to the people. And Elijah continued to communicate God's message to the people of Israel that the worship of the false god Baal would lead them to a place the nation of Israel and the people of Israel did not want to wind up. Jezebel took great offense to this, and she eventually sent a message to Elijah after he issued a contest to the prophets of Baal. In this contest, which took place at a place called Mount Carmel, Elijah said, "You, 450 prophets of Baal, you build an altar to Baal. I'll build an altar to God. Whichever one works, wins." But when it turns out to be Elijah who wins, Jezebel is not happy. And this is the message that she sends to Elijah after his victory at Mount Carmel. She said, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." As part of Elijah's victory over the prophets of Baal, all 450 of them wound up dead. So when Jezebel tells Elijah that by this time tomorrow she's going to make his life like that of one of them, she's clearly threatening to put Elijah's life to an end. And this is not an uncommon thing for Jezebel to put to death someone who opposed her or someone she was not happy with. And she's not a powerless woman. She's actually an incredibly powerful woman. She not only has the ear of the king, but she has the resources of the king at her disposal. This threat to Elijah's life is something that she can make happen. She means business, and she fully intends to make happen her threat. This is no idle threat. Well, Elijah receives this message, and what's his response? It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Now, Elijah had just on Mount Carmel had a victory over 450 prophets, completely successful because God was in his corner. And you would think that Elijah walked away from this with a tremendous amount of confidence. So it's a little bit interesting that he's afraid when he receives this message. But isn't that sometimes how it works when we're in the midst of the tension and stresses of life? That when we're running at an unsustainable pace, the circumstances we find ourselves in get bigger rather than smaller. And sometimes we just are at a point where we want to run and hide from it all. Sometimes we've simply had enough. And that's where Elijah finds himself. He separates from his traveling companion and he journeys about a day into the wilderness. And then he begins an encounter and a conversation with God by saying this, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Because of the tensions and stresses of life, because of the intense season and hectic season that Elijah had been in, one result of which was an unsustainable pace of life, he has simply had enough. He needs something to be different. Now, for many of us, we think that what Elijah would need is some kind of a pep talk. He needs to be reminded about what happened at Mount Carmel. He needs to be reminded that God's in his corner. He needs to be encouraged to just pull up his bootstraps and get on with whatever else it is that he has to go on with. But sometimes in the midst of a hectic and intense and chaotic and unsustainable paced season, Sometimes a pep talk just doesn't overcome the weariness. Sometimes, oftentimes, most of the time, maybe even all of the time, we need a different application, because application is what makes the difference. So Elijah travels a day into the wilderness, starts this conversation, starts this encounter with God, and notice what happens next. It says, then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. I would love to know how long Elijah slept. My guess is that this was no short power nap. And I would also love to know what Elijah's sleep patterns leading into this time and during this hectic season had been. Because an intense and chaotic season, an unsustainable pace, can actually impact our sleep patterns, right? And our sleep patterns can impact our relational, physical, mental, emotional, and even our spiritual well-being. Well, this sleep conversation has been something that's been in the medical wellness field for a lot of years. Most research indicates that the average person needs about 8 hours of sleep, while other research indicates the average person gets about 6.9 hours of sleep. Now, I know this is a theoretical example, but stick with me. If we require 8 hours of sleep a night, but get 6.9 hours of sleep a night, we get roughly 1 hour of sleep less a night than we need. Over the course of a week, that means we get 7 hours less sleep a night than we need. I'm sorry, 7 hours total in a week less sleep than we need. And over the course of the year, that means we get 365 hours less sleep than we need, which is the equivalent of 15 days of less sleep we need in a year. Now, if we stayed up for 15 hours consecutively, or 15 days consecutively, how do you think we would be doing relationally, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, on day 16? Well, very few, if any of us, actually stay up for 15 straight days and nights. But what if we're not doing it in consecutive days and nights, but we're doing it over the course of time, hour by hour? I wonder how radically different things would be for us. I wonder how much better we would be at life, and how much better life would be with a sustainable pace if we just established a healthy routine and rhythm of sleep. I would love to know Elijah's sleep patterns and how much he slept at this particular thing, but we just don't know. What we do know is that Elijah is awakened by an angel and told to eat. Now, an angel is, the word angel is used as a messenger of God. And it can be used to communicate a variety of different forms. And so we're not really sure if this is a person that wakes Elijah up and encourages him to eat, or if this is a supernatural kind of being and experience. But what we do know is that Elijah gets up and eats. And this is what the author of 1 Kings tells us. It says, then he ate and drank, and then lay down again. So Elijah wakes up from this extended power nap, and then eats and drinks to kind of replenish his nutrition, physically probably. And then it says he goes back to sleep. So this nap that he had taken, this sleep that he had gotten initially, wasn't enough to replenish and refresh and renew him in the midst of this unsustainable pace. The pace that had led him to be disheartened and discouraged and despondent and desperate, so much so that he would tell God just to take his life. And so he goes back to sleep. And then we're told that he's awakened a second time and encouraged to eat and drink. And he does. And after a little bit more rest and a little bit more nutrition, the author of 1 Kings tells us, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. There, he went into a cave and spent the night. Notice the pattern that Elijah establishes at this time. He sleeps, he eats, he sleeps, he eats, he re-engages with some of his responsibilities, and then he sleeps again. He goes into the cave and he sleeps. When, during this entire season, Elijah made sure to keep his connection with God in a healthy condition. But when he gets rejuvenated, when he gets refreshed, when he gets replenished and renewed, his connection with God goes to a whole nother level. And so one of the things that's incredibly important when we are in the midst of a hectic and intense season, when we are running at an unsustainable pace, which just isn't a good idea, we have to make sure that we keep fully connected to God and that we continue to work on that relationship no matter what else the circumstances around us are. Elijah takes this time to rest. And when we find ourselves in a hectic and busy season, when we find ourselves in the tension and stress of balancing all the responsibilities and demands of life, very, very seldom are we encouraged to rest as an application solution. And the reason for this is because we tend to wear busyness as a badge of honor, and we tend to view rest as a weakness. But interestingly enough, God rested. The creation account tells us that God worked for 6 days and then rested on the seventh. Not because he needed to rest, but he knew we would need rest as a healthy routine and rhythm of our life. And so he set the example for us by resting. And then he not only encourages us to rest, but he commands us to rest. And so when we live life at an unsustainable pace, and when we neglect rest, we are actually neglecting the very thing that God commands us to do. Not the very thing, but a very thing that God commands us to do. And interestingly, when Jesus was on earth, he rested. When he would complete a hectic and chaotic season, he would withdraw from the responsibilities and demands of life for a time, to renew and refresh and reconnect his relationship with God. Now, you may be thinking, well, sure, it was easy for Jesus because Jesus was the Son of God. Yeah, Jesus was God, but he was also fully human, which means that he felt and experienced everything that we can experience as human beings, including being tired and including being weary, and including having to manage the demands and expectations and responsibilities that come with life. If we examine the pattern of Jesus, Jesus built in times to rest. If God rested, and if Jesus rested, what makes us think that we can manage an unsustainable pace without resting, without establishing a routine and rhythm of rest as part of our lives? Rest is something that all of us need, because no one needs an unrested version of us. My wife and kids do not need an unrested, unhealthy version of me. If you were to ask them, they would tell me that the unrested, unhealthy version of me isn't any fun to be around, unless they're just sugarcoating it to try and not make me look too bad. But if they were honest, they would tell you that the rested, healthy version of me is much better to be around. The church doesn't need an unrested, unhealthy version of me in my role here for a lot of reasons. And if you've been tuned in to Hurricane Community Church for the last few months, you know that I've been away on a renewal leave. And one of the things that I spent a lot of time in this renewal leave evaluating and assessing was the pace of life that I try to manage, the responsibilities that I carry that can sometimes lead me, because of the way that I manage them and the way that I handle them, to an unhealthy place. And so I'm incredibly grateful for that time, and incredibly grateful for the awareness that came that some of the pace of life, the tiredness and the weariness, had led me to a place of unhealth. And to be able to start identifying some steps that I need to take to restore a healthy version of me for my family, for my friends, for those around me, for my role here at the church. To be able to identify some changes in the routine and rhythm of life that I need to manage more effectively. Because life is simply better at an unsustainable pace, or at a sustainable pace. It was true for Elijah. It's true for me. And it's true for you. If life is better at a sustainable pace, let me suggest or encourage or maybe even challenge some practical ways that we can start the process of managing the responsibilities and demands of life in a way that leads to health. First suggestion or challenge that I have is to start with one. Start with one 24-hour period this week to disconnect and rest. Turn off the phone, or at least turn off the notifications. Don't check email. Don't tend to the demands and responsibilities of life, but find something to do that replenishes you, that pours energy into your life, and get some sleep, or at the very least, get some rest. Start with one 24-hour period this week. Mark it on your calendar and make it happen. Because if we don't mark it on our calendar, we tend to not make it happen. The second suggestion is to do it again. Next week, mark out on your calendar another 24-hour period to disconnect, to rest, and to replenish, and then make it happen. The third suggestion is to make it a pattern. Mark on your calendar a 24-hour period every week to disconnect, to rest, and to replenish, to do something that feeds energy into your life. And as part of this reconnect time or disconnect time, find ways to engage with God find ways to make relationship with God the center point of these times. And not just these times, but every day, even in the midst of the demands and the stresses and the tensions and the challenges and expectations and responsibilities of life. Find ways to connect with God and put that relationship at the forefront of your decision-making process. It is a challenge to balance all of the responsibilities that we carry. But life is better at a sustainable pace. And so start with one, do it again, make it a pattern. Because you and I and those around us and even the responsibilities we carry are better when we are rested and healthy. Let me pray for you as we close out this time together. Dear God, thank you for this story of Elijah. Thank you for how we discover from him the importance of rest, the importance of sleep, the importance of disconnecting from the responsibilities and demands of life, and the importance of connecting and reconnecting with you. God, each and every person watching right now carries responsibilities and demands and expectations in life. And through this time together, may each and every one of us have discovered a way to manage them in a way that leads to health, in a way that leads to the best version of me in relationship with you that I can be. And we thank you for the responsibilities. We thank you for the demands and expectations, because they are vitally important to our lives and the lives of those around us. God, just help us not to make those more important than our health and our relationship with you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.